Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, August 27, 2019. And today we are reading from the big book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics on page 550. And we're going to be studying today, taking apart the directions for recovery, paragraph 3. Page 50, paragraph 3, and it begins with on one proposition and ends with let's look at the record. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Nan K, the 12 traditions, Laura R. Reading the text today and support all the way through is Mary Jane Z, Kara L, Elaine T. Wendy S will greet newcomers and get sponsor contact information after the recording. And then beyond that, Leslie M will give you some announcements for things that are going on here at A Vision for You. Please stay to the top of the hour if you would, please. We have a packed hour today. The share ID numbers for yesterday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Big Book Study Meeting is 13321, 13,321, and that would be for Monday, August 26, 2019. And then this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, Big Book Study Meeting, August 27, 2019, Tuesday, 13323, 13,323, the OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nan K to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, I'm Nan K. Nan K, a recovered compulsive overeater from Northern Michigan. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Nan K., for your service for this month. Appreciate it. I will now ask Laura R. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hi, thank you, Melanie. This is Laura R., compulsive overeater. These are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never endorse, organize, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you also, Laura R., for your loyal service to us this month. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker's, should be muted. And the operative word is star 1 on your phone keypad to disconnect it from technology. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostics. We're on page 50. We're going to unpack today paragraph 3 on that page, and it starts with on one proposition and then ends with let's look at the record. I'd like to ask Mary Jane Z to open it up by reading that paragraph and sharing her experience. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. Jane. Good morning, Melanie, and good morning everybody else from the great state of Kentucky. On one proposition, however, these men and women are strikingly agreed. Every one of them has gained access to and believes in a power greater than himself. This power has in each case accomplished the miraculous, the humanly impossible. As a celebrated American statesman put it, let's look at the record. So the first thing my sponsors always said, just ask questions. So who are these men and women? Well, they talk about them in the front piece of this book where it says Alcoholics Anonymous, the story of how many thousands of men and women have recovered from alcoholism. And they're also mentioned in the foreword to the first edition, we, the people who wrote this book. So that's who these men and women are. And as the years have gone on, well, gosh, I'm one of these women. And I strikingly agree with this paragraph. That I have gained access, and I do believe in a power greater than myself, and it has accomplished the miraculous. And how did I gain access? Well, first I had to slow down and listen to suggestions like, hey, there's this program called Overeaters Anonymous, why don't you go to it? Oh, okay. Oh, look at what they're saying. All right. I can do some of these things. And then, hey, did you know about this phone meeting? Oh, I don't like technology. I don't know how to do that. Well, oh, maybe I'll try. And so what I learned was I had to set aside all my preconceived notions about pretty much everything. And by slowing down and following instructions, such as becoming entirely abstinent and working the steps, I did gain access to that power. And how did I come to believe in that power? By watching what happened as I worked the steps. And I continued to experience this power as I watch how the power is working on other issues in my life as I continue to turn things over. And the power has accomplished the miraculous because, friends, I don't know about you all, but I tried this over and over again on my own for years, and I never worked, and it didn't work. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here, but I had to get in enough pain that I went, I don't know what I'm doing. And so it was humanly impossible for me to do this, that only by the grace of God was the compulsion to want to eat removed, and has stayed removed as long as I stay deep inside these steps. And, you know, I think about all the things that are humanly possible. Like, you know, I have a set profession and I have a lot of experience in that profession. And I don't have to relearn and set aside everything I know about that profession to learn new things, because it's working. I know what I'm doing and I can do it. I have skills. I have competence. But in this area of my life, pretty much my entire life, it wasn't working. It was not working. And so I did have to set aside everything. And the gift that I've received is beyond my comprehension. And it gives me chills every day as I walk the path with you all. So I can't wait to look at the record of everyone else's experience. So with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Mary Jane Z. Now it's open to others to comment on paragraph 3, page 50 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Mary Jane Z set it up very nicely. If you give me your first name and then the first initial of your last name, I'll see if I can get you lined up here.
Dorita P.
Dorita.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Chevy K.
Did I hear Abby K?
Chevy K.
Chevy K. Okay. Hi, Chevy.
Bruce E.
Hi.
Bruce E.
Mag C.
Mags. Sounds like a good lineup. Dorita P, Donna B, Chevy K, Bruce E, and Mag C. Good morning, Dorita. How are you?
Hi, Melanie. Good morning. Hi. Again, my name is Dorita P from Cleveland, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And somebody mentioned before about, like, when Bill wrote this, he didn't want to, like, appear or seem cocky or anything like that. Like, for example, in How It Works, rarely have we seen a person fail. You know, they talked about that word rarely. Like, should they say never have we seen a person fail? But so it's a lot of places where he would say, like nearly all have recovered. They have solved the drink problem. But here, he is sure. He said every one of them has gained access to and believes in a power greater than himself. This power has, in each case, accomplished the miraculous, the humanly impossible. I know it has for me. And anytime my faith wanes, I just look at the fact that I've been able to stop eating, or God has removed that from me. You know, I could maybe look at other areas where maybe I'm not too sure, but when he took the food compulsion away from me, you know, I was sure, because I couldn't do it any other way. You know, it was humanly impossible for me or any other humans that tried to help me. And then lastly, I'll just say in this last sentence, let's look at the record. And I like that, you know, let's look at the record. And, you know, that's what I did when I came. You know, I wasn't sure about getting a sponsor or, you know, working the steps or anything, but I looked at the record, and I looked around me, and I saw you guys, and you guys were not only at a normal weight, but you guys were happy, joyous, and free, and I never was able to find that. And so with that, I So with that, I'll pass. Thank you, Melanie. Thank you for all your service.
Thank you, Dorita P. Donna B., you're up now, and then Chevy K. will come in after you.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. Strikingly agreed. I hear so much hope and peace and surrender in those two words. It is not often that I find myself in situations where everyone strikingly agrees. I'm accustomed to yelling and dissent and criticism and undermining and, you know, everything but striking agreement. So when I hear about a place, a book, a set of instructions in which people can strikingly agree, I can feel my body settle. I can feel a sense of peace overcome me. I find that when I walk into the room, especially when we go around in a circle and each person speaks one at a time, without interruption, without crosstalk, without attack, without assault. It's a place of peace. This morning, I lost a friend. She's been in hospice the last few days as a result of pancreatic cancer metastasizing all over her body. And her sister called me this morning to let me know that she was gone, and that everyone strikingly agrees that Susan would love for us to go to the zoo and celebrate her life. And to be surrounded by peace and striking agreement around the loss of someone we love gives me so much peace, and I'm so deeply grateful for that. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much. Donna B., Chevy K., it's your turn to share for 3 minutes, then Bruce E. will come in after you.
Hi, good morning. This is Chevy K. Thank you for everyone on the line. Thank you for your service. God, please guide my words. I just wanted to share when we read this morning, because I felt so inspired around the access to my higher power that I have been gaining slowly in my own miraculous process. So there are certain situations in my life presently that God has put on my plate that are unmanageable in my own hands, that I, as a human being, don't have answers to. And what I've grown accustomed to saying recently as I enter these situations is, God, open my mouth. Please guide my words. Take my hand. And then I make a motion with my hand for God to go in front of me. You first, lead the way. And that's what I've been doing. And there have been such miracles beyond comprehension that it boggled my mind. And, you know, even being recovered and abstinent from my binge foods, I can hit real bottoms and moments of hopelessness. And I've really found that doing this and binding myself to God and weaving this into my soul has helped me so much. There are times that I don't always get the results that I want. There are times that I just can't understand what's happening, what's going on, how is this going to ever be resolved. And that pause
when I don't get the results I want can really seem endless and painful at times. So, every night in our 11th step, I review what corrective measures or actions could be taken. And I just want to share that I think what I'm going to be doing is to keep a notebook of the miracles. You know, when I did access that higher power and I did see such marvelous, unexpected, unimaginable results, so that it'll give me hope in those moments that I feel hopeless. So that's just what I wanted to share. And thank you so much. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Chevy K. Bruce E., you're up. And then Mags S., and then we'll open up the lines for others to comment on paragraph 3, page 50. Hi, Bruce.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you, everybody. Bruce E., I'm recovered in North Carolina. I want to talk about the record, but then want to mention first I got registered for November 15th in Newark for the convention. Looking forward to meeting some people. And I just telling a couple of people, a couple of guys I know that live up in that area, one in New York, one in Connecticut, about that I was going to be up there. And I think maybe both of them might come to it. I'm not sure. So one guy I hadn't seen 7 years, another guy I hadn't seen a couple of years, said, it's going to be neat. The record, excuse me, what was my record? I didn't have a good track record before I got into vision. Compulsively over eight for years. I'd get a week or the last year before getting into vision, which was 2 years ago. But 2 years ago, during that year, got vision a year ago. My track record that year wasn't too good. You know, I'd get a week in, I'd get a week and a half in, I'd start telling myself, I'm doing better now. Now you're good now, Bruce, you're doing better. You're doing really well now. Start feeling good about myself, and bang, I'm back into it again. So I was not recovered, and I might have been abstinent for a week or two at a time, and then that was it. I couldn't put 2 weeks together for that year before I got in vision. So that was my record. So let's look at that record. Not too good. Came in last every time I went around the track, raced around the track. I'd come in last to walk across the finish line, barely make it. Anyway, so I get on to vision, and I hear people saying they're recovered, and that people are saying they've got enthusiasm in their voices. And that was the record that I heard. That's the record there. That's the record. Somebody saying they're recovered and have enthusiasm in their voice. Man, that's good enough for me. I wanted that, and I didn't have it. I knew I didn't have it. And then, of course, the question was, how do you get it? And you heard right away, you got to get a sponsor and work through the steps using the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. That was good. So I did that. Then what was the miraculous that seemed to happen? Well, or what is miraculous? Well, miraculous means that's a miracle. So I couldn't get it myself. I tried for years to get it myself. The only way I was going to get it was through a power greater than myself, and that was a miraculous that it finally happened. And it just came up on me and happened. All of a sudden, I wasn't obsessed.
Fine.
I wasn't. Thank you. And I was recovered. So thanks. I pass.
Thanks so much, Bruce E. Hey, Mag C., it's your turn. And right after you, we're going to open up the lines for additional people to comment
on the
paragraph.
Good morning, everybody. Hey. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're fine.
All right. Good morning, everybody. This is Mag C. in Denver. And I was reminded yesterday, pleasantly and shockingly reminded about how I first came into program. And I had tried everything. I had tried every diet available. I was desperate because I was basically starving myself. And then I couldn't do that anymore, you know, to stay you know, thin. And so I started to purge, and that was in my, after my college years. And then the vomit in my hair got to smell so badly that I was like, well, I can't do that at work, you know, because I'm supposed to be taking care of people. And so I started to exercise and exercise like crazy, like marathon, you know, long distance running. And my body just was not made for that. I do have a spinal defect, and I was just crazily exercising 4 hours a day. I was going nuts, and my weight was fluctuating in these hills and valleys, and I felt completely and absolutely insane. I had everything I wanted. I was financially secure. I had a man who loved me. I had nice clothes. I had a car. I had stuff. You know, I had things around me to make me comfortable. And I was in the middle of all of that comfort, sobbing into my heart that I just wasn't, I still wasn't normal. I was still eating a round of cheesecake and then purging, you know, and I just felt insane. And so at that point, anything was worthy of trying, anything, because I was going to slit my wrist because I didn't think this life was worth living anymore. And I found, luckily, people helped me find the 12-step programs. And you can, if you wish, just make AA itself your higher power. This second step, this came to believe in a power greater than yourself. It's not so insurmountable. And that's what, luckily, my sponsors, because I was definitely somebody who had faith and lost it. And I couldn't even stand to hear the word God. I had such anger. And what I've learned in the 16 years in this program is that there is lasting, oh, thanks, Mel, that there is lasting recovery, lasting change with these steps. And it is phenomenal. It's not insurmountable, this step. Okay, that's all I can say. Bye.
Thanks, Meg C. Lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 3, page 50. It starts with, on one proposition, that single paragraph. Give me your first name and the first initial of your last name, and we'll line you up.
Beatrice O.
Hi, Beatrice.
Morning.
Mo H.
Hey, Mo.
Mary H.
Hi, Mary H.
Sandy S.
Hi, Sandy.
Joanne B.
Joanne B. Hi.
Laura R.
Okay. Oh, hey, Laura. We'll grab you up here real quick, too. I think we'll probably have time. Okay. So we have Beatrice O, Mo H, Mary H, Sandy S, Joanne B, and Laura R. Good morning again, Beatrice. It's your turn, 3-0.
Good morning. This is Beatrice, recovering food addict from Northern California. And the line that says this power has, in each case, accomplished the miraculous, the humanly impossible. So when I'm not eating compulsively, it is miraculous, because there never has been anything in this earthly realm that has been able to stop me from eating. It had to be a higher power. It had to be a God, because I've tried everything under the sun to heal myself, basically. And even when I thought I was healed, I don't believe that I'll ever be healed. I have a daily reprieve. And I can't let my ego and pride, you know, confuse me, because I know confusion doesn't come from God. So where it says, let's look at the record, I had to look at the record of my past. I had to look at the lies that I believed and that I've been believing about myself and others. Because I had a lot of head knowledge, and I do have a lot of head knowledge and experience. But it's like, if I have so much experience in life, why do I overeat? Because I'm powerless, because I have an obsession on the mind and the allergy of the body, because I've created a disaster and I've been abusive and critical. So I think part of my healing is I have to look at my record, and I have to honestly look at what I have done to myself. And I think in the past, the reason I fared so well on these other offshoots of the program is because I was used to the shame game. I could feel terrible and dejected if I ate a crumb. So today, I'm looking at my past more, and I'm believing in God. I had to cuddle up to my higher power once again, because I drifted off, and stay connected, because I know it may sound weird, but my access to my higher power is, I only feel them really when I put the food down. So thank you, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Beatrice. Beatrice, almost thought I was wrong there for a second. Hey, Mo H, it's your turn, and then Mary will come in after you. Hi, Mo.
Hi, Melanie. Good morning. Thank you for your continued service and all those giving service for this month. My name is Mo H, recovered compulsive eater, sugar addict in Northern California. Wow, I didn't think I had anything to say, and then I started listening to some of the shares and I got triggered. So one of my very first meetings that I was sitting at, and it was a large meeting, I was just thoroughly blown away by the amount of recovery in that room and the amount of weight that had been released, and the smiles on people's faces and the serenity in their voices. And I was blown away by that. Fast forward to myself talking about the miraculous, when I called this person up who became my sponsor and said, "I can't stop eating. Help me after 5 years of not having the sugar and the flour. Help me. I can't stop." And I answered her two questions. Was I desperate, and was I willing to go to any length? And I said, absolutely. And she started me working these 12 steps as written in this book, and then put me on this line. And then I got, again, completely blown away when I would hear people on this line saying they're recovered. And I talked to my sponsor about that, and we talked about it, and I said, oh, yeah, I want what they have. But what really came up for me is the miracle I see in my sponsees when they ask me to sponsor them, and they're desperate. They're into the food. Their life is unmanageable. And slowly, I start to see this blossoming flower. And such change happening. And it just brings joy to my day when I hear someone saying, this miracle happened for me today. I was able to make amends to this person that I didn't think I would ever be able to do that. Or I was able to be quiet and not be triggered by somebody saying something to me that would have normally triggered me. Or I didn't eat today. Just that. I didn't pick up that food. That, to me, is a miracle when somebody like myself was into the sugar for 2 months and then just put it down. That's a miracle. I mean, this whole program is a miracle. So I just wanted to zero in on that word, miraculous. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Melanie.
Thanks, Mo. Thanks so much. Okay, so we have Mary H. next, and then Sandy will come in after you. Hi, Mary.
Hi there. This is Mary H. in Wisconsin. And really glad to be here today. Thanks for your service, everybody. The phrase that just keeps happening in my head over and over, humanly impossible. The humanly impossible. You know, it was humanly impossible for me to just face living life without the food. And I didn't even realize I was doing it for a really long time, because I found a way in 2004, and by 2006 I had figured out what 12-step programs were and figured out what abstinence was and, you know, gotten all my literature and gotten a sponsor and started working the steps and put down the foods that made me crazy at that time. But the directions that I got didn't include this idea of really thinking about how that might continue to progress over time. And as foods continued to set off my buzzers, it wasn't the same as what it used to look like when I was into those things that I would just binge on, the really big behaviors that I had before. And so I figured, well, this is just a, I don't know what I figured. I was in denial. And so as time went on, I didn't realize how much I was still taking the edge off. And then I found the real, you know, the clear cut directions, the precise instructions. And because I started to follow those, I started to trust the process. I did gain access to and began believing in this power that is doing the humanly impossible. It has been over a year now that I have been entirely abstinent. And you know what? I am into some deep soul work right now. And the only way that I can face it and walk through and keep going is by leaning into that higher power. Oh, because my record is that I can't face life without this power greater than me, that every day I get to look at, where am I being agnostic today? Where do I need to lean in to my higher power today? So thank you so much for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sandy. Yes. Oh my goodness. I am just ahead of myself today. Mary H. who it was. I'm so doggone efficient. I've gotten ahead of myself. Oh, Sandy, yes, it's your 3 minutes, and then Joanne B. will be in after you, as long as I keep my record straight.
Sure. Hi, this is Mary. No, just kidding. Anyway, wow. It's just amazing how higher power works. I was trying to call so many people this morning, and nobody was available, and I said, I think I'll just go on the 10 o'clock meeting. And the thing that I heard that really resonated with me the most is just the idea of writing down everything, or forget everything, a few of the most important miracles that happen every day. And this is one of them. Like, I feel so connected with what everyone is saying in this meeting. And really, for me, the essence of a miracle is experiencing inner ease. I mean, that's it. I mean, that to me is the most important thing in my life without exception. For me to have an inner sense that I am safe, that I am enough, and that I could really be in touch with my emotions, which I'm in touch with right now. I'm just like almost crying because this is all I want. This is all I've ever wanted. And it's a miracle when I experience it. And I do have moments like right now, right this minute, right this moment, where I'm really experiencing inner ease. and there's nothing else that I want. I mean, of course, I cannot experience it unless I'm abstinent. And it's sort of like saying, I can't live unless there's oxygen. That's the way I view abstinence. You know, I did have a spiritual experience many, many years ago, and I'm entirely abstinent for many, many years. And food is absolutely not an issue, but it could be. It could be for anyone who's a recovered compulsive overeater. It could be an issue for any compulsive overeater. So I'm enlarging my spiritual life. So that's where I want to be. But I'll just say two very practical miracles, because I'm into practicalities and not abstractions. I've gone back to work as a psychologist and my own business, which is something, I mean, I am working at a level as a psychologist that I've never worked at before, because I never had the mental health which God has given me. So I just want to say that. And I've expanded my business from doing counseling to psychological evaluations. And it's very small scale. I have two clients for counseling, and I don't even have someone who's paying me to do evaluations. I did two free ones. But the whole foundation of it is just for it to be fun and just for it to be God's will. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Sandy. Yes. Joanne B., you're next, and then it'll be followed by Laura R.
Hi, this is Joanne B. and from Texas, and I am recovered in just for today by God's mercy and grace. I wanted to just chime in, and the reason is because, as all of us know, that when we don't identify in for whatever reason at the moment, or when we want to go into isolation and we're very happy to be by ourselves, that's a great time to say, hello, I'm here. And that is what I'm doing. For some reason, this whole chapter was, the first time I heard it read, was beautiful. And it was so funny because I did come in with a power greater than myself, but then I got to see where I was agnostic. And now, of course, I still get to see where I'm agnostic. But this time around, this is our, I think, my third time going through this chapter with vision. And I'm having such a hard time identifying with my fellows. And so I'm just sitting in the background listening to everyone. And what gets me thinking is how wonderful this program is, because we are working on spiritual progress and not spiritual perfection. And I think that's the biggest thing that my higher power is helping me to see. And that I have fellows, you know, when I make my outreach calls, and they reassure, it's amazing. I don't call them for this purpose, but they will reassure that it is a progress, and that to me is amazing, that my higher power works through each and every one of you. I do need my higher power greater than myself, and I have had to come to a realization that I was greater than my higher power most of my life, and so, of course, my higher power couldn't do anything. But the miracle that has happened to me is that I am no longer in the food. And I still have those thoughts. And a fellow told me, well, the honeymoon is over, and now you continue to work this program, and then you'll have more and more of that, I guess, that mind that is comfortable, like so many people are talking about. And I do see that, the growth coming. I see that I don't think about the food as much as I had in the past.
Time.
Thank you. And it's just a wonderful program, and thank you for bringing it to us. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Joanne B. Laura R., your turn, your 3 minutes.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Laura R. from Colorado, compulsive overeater. Wow, I am just
vibrating this morning with this paragraph, and I'm so grateful, and I'm so humbled by the power of God. Yesterday, I was talking to my sponsor about just a reoccurring character defect, and she said, I want you to write down every single thing that God has done for you that you can remember or even think of that you haven't done for yourself. Like, what has God done for you that you could not do for yourself? And so it's ironic that we're on this paragraph, because I wrote down, you know, just a page full of all these things that God has done for me that I could not do for myself. And as I was writing it, I was blown away. I mean, there's one thing to like think about it. Okay, I'm sober and I'm abstinent. And there's something to see it on a page. And the truth of my, you know, like in the doctor's opinion, says we can't differentiate the truth from the false. The truth for me is that my life was a complete mess. You know, I am, you know, apart from God, I have no hope. And I did not know that, but I was, you know, a smoker and a drinker and a compulsive overeater. And I used men to fill the hole in, you know, the empty hole within myself. And, you know, what else did I do? Oh, gosh, there's so much. Just fighting with my husband all the time when we first got married. I threw muffins across the garage because I thought his ex-wife ate one. You know, I flipped my stepkids off. Like, I mean, it's just like that's how I show up without God. And I was telling my sponsor about, you know, so she's like, I want you to write down everything that God has done for you. And it is amazing to see the things that I could not do on my own. And now to look at the page filled of all these miracles that have happened in my life. And what that gave me is that, yes, I still am doing something today that I don't want to do, but I have no power. And what's so beautiful is that I have steps that if I can continue to pray one day at a time for this to change in God's time and in his way, he will. And what's so beautiful is that I'm aware through the steps of my character defects and that I am just human. And that I need to cut myself some slack and take myself off the cross and stop beating myself up with that bat that has, like, you know, spikes in it, and say, you know what, God, like, I need you. I love in the Bill story, it says that I am nothing. Without him, I am lost. And just by looking at the truth and then looking at the, you know, the truth of who I am without God and the truth who I am with God and that and what he has done for me, I can just say, you know what, God, I'm human, and when I make a mistake, it actually can be a positive thing and just say, I need you, I love you, and someday you will change me because I've seen it in my life. Let's look at the record. I've seen what you could do for me. So I sit here grateful and humbled and crying and so grateful to be amongst other fellows who are doing the same thing I am doing one day at a time, and we're just trying to get closer to our Creator and trying to learn how to love better, and that is awesome. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Laura R. Thank you so much to everyone that shared today. There's about a minute and a half left. I'd like to offer that to newcomers and sponsors that are coming up in just a moment. So we will wrap up the recorded portion of the meeting this morning, please, by saying, Kara L. read from page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, and then stick with us after the recording stops. Hey, Kara.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater in Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We should be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.